1:22 comes from James 1:22. And if you have your Bibles, open it up. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Mary and Joseph were his mom and dad. Denny's here. Denny, we're actually going to stand in their house here in March. It's going to be incredible. Couple seats left, I think, if you want to go to Jerusalem with us. But we'll stand right there where James and Jesus played as kids. The key thing here is James doesn't become a follower of Jesus until after Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, when Jesus started his ministry, James tried to run him off a cliff. But James says this in James 1:22, and this is going to be the theme for the next several weeks that we're digging into in this series. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Be doers and not just hearers. I forgot something. Okay, don't write this down. Just listen really closely. I'm going to give you a list of 12 words. Do your very, very, very best to memorize them. Everybody ready? Don't take notes. I see some of you are going to cheat and write them down. No, you ready? Gabe's going to get all 12. Pipe, babies, damp, thing, rightful, green, sign, kindly, carriage, authority, mind, deceive. Everybody got them memorized? Let me give them to you one more time, just so you can totally set these in your mind. Pipe, babies, damp, thing, rightful, green, sign, kindly, carriage, authority, mind, deceive. Okay, just wanted to just keep those in there. We'll come back to that later. We'll just juggle that ball. We're suspending it in the air. We'll come back to that list. Here's the deal. James 1:22, don't just hear but do. It's intriguing that Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with the exact same point. Did you catch the point of the parable Jesus told to close it, of the two men that build their house on the rock? One was a doer, and one was just a hearer. But here's the point of the story at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There will be storms. Can I get an amen? Anybody who's done life for a little bit has to realize that there will be storms. If you're coming into this Christian thing, if you're new to Christianity, please do not think, there's one way the church has messed the message up, and I hear it on the radio sometimes, is if you just trust, nothing bad will ever happen. I've done professional ministry now for a quarter of a century. And it's super weird. Once you've done something for a quarter of a century doesn't feel that long. Here's what I found. The most faithful people in the church still get storms. Storms come. There will be storms. Let me put it another way. If you dig into this story that Jesus told, you catch that he's actually telling the story of the three little pigs, right? Right? One man built his house on the sand, and it crumbled when the storms came. One man built his house on the rock, and it stood when the storms came. If you're uncomfortable with biblical language, if you have friends that don't like biblical language, then just go, hey, do you agree with the three little pigs? You build your house out of sticks or straw, and when the wolf comes, it's gonna get blown down. You build your house out of bricks, and it's gonna stand. And by the way, when I was searching this, I found a great one. And the fourth little pig built his house out of wolf skulls. They weren't really strong, but they sent a message. Oh. You know, if you're more comfortable telling the story in a different way, there's gonna be wolves. In fact, Neil Gaiman quoted G.K. Chesterton wrongly, and he said, we don't tell children fairy tales to prove that dragons are real. Kids already know that dragons are real. We tell them fairy tales so that they can know that the dragons can be defeated. There's gonna be dragons. There's gonna be wolves. There's gonna be storms. Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount owning that reality. But check what he says. How do you make it through the storm? How do you make it through the wolves? How do you make it through the dragons? Look at Jesus' words. Everybody, and this is Matthew 7:24. Everybody who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell and the floods came and the winds beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everybody who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. I want to make this really, really clear. Falling is based on hearing. Hearing the word, the house still falls. Hearing and doing is what not falling is based on. How does the house stand? Not just because it heard, but because the person heard and did. We have extra biblical language about this. Your mama told you. Don't let it go.
For those that are listening online and not watching on Zoom, all I had to do is point to my ear, and everybody knows the reference.
Don't just hear the word of God. Do it. Live it. But I don't want to get into versitis here. Versitis is when you take one little piece of scripture and take it out of context and don't look at the whole thing. This is a sermon, and this is the last point of a sermon. Pastor Scott has given us language for that. You've got one narrative of events. You've got a crimson thread that connects Genesis all the way through Revelation. So let's not just take what Jesus is saying here out of context. Let's look at the whole context. And this is amazing. Any psychologists in the house today? There's this thing in psychology called the primacy effect. Primacy effect is this: whatever you hear first, you will remember. Recency effect is whatever you hear last, you will remember. And as they've done studies, if you have a big enough sample size, if you give a list of 12 words, people will remember the first two or three, 80 to 90%. People will remember around 60%, the last two or three words on the list. The middle words, it drops to about 20%. Let's just see, when I take 30 seconds, write down the list. See what you remember. I told you to remember. I even read the list twice. Just jot them down. Do 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 do. I love the look some of you are giving me because you're going, what list? See, that's point of the primacy effect. If it would have been the first thing that I would have said in the sermon, you would have at least remembered there was a list. Just out of show of hands, put your hand up if you remembered it. Anybody remember the first word? And know it's the first word? What was it? Yeah, pipe. And just, who had pipe? Who remembered pipe was on? Like, look around. Look how many hands are up. This is fun. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if you remember what was pipe. If you didn't, just lie. It makes the study go better. Pipe. I'm going to read it and see where you lost the words. Same order. Pipe. Babies. Damp. Thing. Rightful. Green. Sign. Kindly. Carriage.
authority. And if people were putting their hands up, this is where you'd see all the hands go up the middle. They drop down, and then you have this thing in the middle that's called the salience factor. If there was a word that really connected with you, you'd remember it in the middle. And then at the end, all the hands go back up. Mind. What was the last word? Deceive. Interesting. So Jesus, if we're gonna use recency effect and say, what's the last thing Jesus said? We wanna go, how'd he start his sermon? Because more people in Jesus, being a smart dude, in addition to being the creator of the whole world, understood these things. I mean, I understand them, and I'm a knucklehead. So if I want somebody to remember, I put it first. By the way, kids, teenagers, use this. Use this. Don't lead with the fact you failed the class. Tell mom and dad, hey, I did all my homework today. I failed a class. And I was home by curfew. Hope that they forget the middle. So how did Jesus start the sermon? Check this out. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. If you flip back, here's how Jesus started the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The sermon starts off with all of these blessings. And it's blessings. Remember, the word bless means I am with you. I haven't left you. It's this whole list of things where it's the times where people go, has God left me if? And you've been there. We've walked through this together. Blessed are those who mourn. When you're mourning, you're going, God, why? Why'd they die? Why'd they leave? Why is it hurt so bad? Have you left me? And Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount and goes, nope, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. You're still blessed. I'm walking with you. Why? Because you're my kid. When you bless somebody, you share identity with them. When you walk through with somebody, you share identity with them. The sermon starts. And in case it isn't clear enough, after all those blessings, the next thing he does is he makes the blessing blunt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. What's Jesus' identity? He's the light of the world. What's he tell us our identity is? You are a city on a hill that shines a light bright. You are the light of the world. This is in here. I'm not making this up. The first thing Jesus does in the sermon is tells you who you are. You, my brothers and sisters, are God's beloved child. You have the identity of Christ. Next service, we're going to have a baptism. Sorry, Zoomers, I'm over here at the baptismal font. We're going to have a baptism, and that child is going to be baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That child is going to get the identity of Christ put on them. That's where you are. That's who you are, even when the storms come. Anybody need that reminder this morning? Oh, well, then that was a huge waste of time. The sermon starts with who you are. And by the way, the stuff, and this is for the confirmation kids, that's gospel. It's unearned, unmerited, free gift. And then what's it go to? It goes to, if you read the sermon, all the things where you think you're doing good enough. I'm better than Joe, because I ain't murdered nobody. Jesus says, you have heard it said, do not murder. But if you're angry in your heart, you've committed murder. Well, I'm not like that person who's having an affair. I just Google stuff on the internet. Jesus says, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but if you lust after somebody in your heart, you're there. See, what Jesus does, the next thing Jesus does in the sermon is he gives us the law. Particularly the law, it does three things. It does the first two here. The law serves as a mirror. It makes you look into it and go, who am I really in my behaviors? If I want to go on Henry, if I want to go on how good Henry is, I need to look in the mirror and go, how am I measuring up? Who am I really, and how am I measuring up? For those that are note takers, the law is a mirror and a measure. Then the next thing Jesus does in the sermon in Matthew 6, he starts giving us the law as guide. Hey, if you want to live right, do this thing. Hey, when you are fasting, fast this way, not that way. It'll be more beneficial. See, before we can get to the end of the sermon, we got to go through the sermon. And the sermon goes gospel, law, law. And then it ends with judgment. In 7, starting in verse 15, it ends with judgment. It ends with that last day where basically on that last day, what happens is we are judged. And if we are judged on us, if we are judged on Henry, if Henry stands before the throne and goes, God, I did better than Joe and Chuck and Bob and let me tell you what they did. God lifts up the mirror and goes, Henry, here's where you got to be. And you've fallen short. But see, the thing is, when God judges me, he doesn't judge Henry. He judges Jesus because I have been baptized into the name of Jesus. God doesn't judge you on your work or your merit. He judges you on Christ because that's who you are. And then we get to that final part. So how are you going to build your house? Are you just going to hear this stuff? Is it going to go in one ear and out the other? Or are you going to hear it and then do it? Are you going to hear what God's word is saying and put it into action? See, here's the deal. You can't do without hearing first. You got to hear first. And you're hearing this morning, you're hearing when you dig into God's word. And then you do. And by the way, as I've read more over my life, I've learned a little trick. If you're reading smart people, they write some stuff, and then they hide the good stuff in the footnotes. They write some stuff, but the real meat comes out in the podcast afterward. It comes out in the interview. They bury the good stuff in the middle because they realize not everybody's ready for the real meat yet. You've experienced that? You don't want to. Here's the real meat of this verse. Here's where it gets so juicy. If you're sitting here wrestling, how do I not just hear but do? And when we used to end every sermon with James 22, how are you going to James 1:22? It became amazing because people would come up to me and they'd go, I don't know how to do. Here's the trick. Matthew 6:21. Jesus lays it out. And by the way, before we get there, remember, in Jesus' world, heart is not the center of emotion. Heart is the seed of the will. Heart is the choices that we make. Here's what Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where we put our money is where we lead our heart.
See, I used to think it was flip-flopped. I used to think what I really, really loved, I could, no. Where you, I'm having to raise money for Brother Dog. This is one of these things it's a non-for-profit I'm raising. It's been amazing to talk to people about giving. Because here's what I found already. I'm only half a dozen deep, but I found already what I'm asking people to do. I thought my existential crisis, I thought was all kinds of stuff. And if you follow me on Facebook, by the way, I'm back on there, super weird place. I posted the what if poem because I get the, no, but what I realized is I was going about it wrong. I thought it was all these things, but when you start talking to people about money, you start talking about where are they leading their heart. Am I putting, well, what'd your mama teach you? Put your money where your mouth is. Am I putting my money where I know my heart should be? You want to know where your heart is? Do your taxes. Look at where you spent your money last year. Man, I'm leading my heart to be an arrogant, self-centered person because most of my money I spend on this guy. No, actually, psychology has studied this. If you want to become a more generous person, just start giving, and you'll start feeling generous. In fact, man, this is the one thing that bums me out. I don't get to do marital counseling anymore because I found a huge key in studying this. Anybody have those days you don't love your spouse? Or, sorry, you don't like your spouse? Can I get an amen? Oh, it's amazing. People get married, and one of the things they stop doing is spending money on their spouse. They stop buying them gifts. It's amazing. Somebody comes up and it's like, man, they look at me and they go, I've lost that love. You know my advice now? What are you spending on her? Go buy her flowers. Go buy her a ring. Go give generously. And it's amazing. When we do that, we fall in love again. It's actually one of the reasons psychologists tell us you fall in love in the first place, because when I give a good gift, I actually start believing that person is worthy of the gift. Psychology is just getting into this, but Jesus is so far ahead of his time. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. How do you do it? Get ready, write this down. I didn't put a blank for this. How do you do it? How do you not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word? Get ready. You do it. Just do it. Try it. See what happens. Right? This isn't rocket science. Scripture says, husbands, love your wives. Do it. Scripture says, turn the other cheek. Do it. What's it look like to do it? And why is that so important? Because storms will come. The world will fall apart around you. But when you've developed these habits of doing, it instills in you what you have heard. And hear this. You're already enough. You're already enough, not because you're perfect, but because what Christ did on the cross, he has made you enough. You've taken on his identity, and as we do the word, we step into living in that identity. The word is meant to be done, not just heard. And so over the next 8, 9, 10 weeks. That's what we're looking into. Different Bible passages where how do we hear them and do them? Let's pray. God, make us courageous. Make us courageous to not just hear your word, but to do it. God, some of us need to lead our hearts right now. We know we got to write the check. We we know we got to make the phone call. Because we treasure our time even more than we treasure our money. We got to make that call and we got to heal that relationship because we know that's what your word says. God, some of us, our treasure is that grudge that we've been holding for so long, and it's time to leave that grudge and lead our heart. God, give us the courage to do that. And God, we know the only way we get courage is through clarity. And so make it crystal clear, even as we pray this perfect prayer that you taught us in a couple seconds, that you're our dad and that we're your kid, that you've forgiven us, that you've set us free, that you've given us a new identity. God, let us rest in that. God, there's people hurting right now. You end saying storms will come, and we know Daphne, she's got cancer. And baby Bennett, God, is now home. We got Dave and Adeline and Becky and Brad and Aaron and Gail and Jeff and Peter and Steve and his whole family. God, storms are coming to them. God, keep them safe. And anything that's not built on your word, let it crumble. And give us more of you. Forgive us and heal us and lead us. Teach us to delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your holy name. And Lord, hear us as we pray that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I invite